The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you.
Jesus said to his disciples, "There is no need to be afraid, little flock, for it has pleased your Father to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Get yourselves purses that do not wear out, treasure that will not fail you in heaven, where no thief can reach it and no moth destroy it. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. See that you are dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like men waiting for their master to return from the wedding feast, ready to open the door as soon as he comes and knocks. Happy those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. I tell you solemnly, he will put on an apron, sit them down at table, and wait on them. It may be in the second watch he comes, or in the third, but happy these servants if he finds them ready. You may be quite sure of this, that if the householder had known at what hour the burglar would come, he would not have let anyone break through the wall of his house. You too must stand ready, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Peter said, "Lord, do you mean this parable for us or for everyone?" The Lord replied, "What sort of steward then is faithful and wise enough for the master to place him over his household to give them their allowance of food at the proper time? Happy that servant if his master's arrival finds him at his employment. I tell you truly, he will place him over everything he owns. But as for the servant who says to himself, 'My master is taking his time coming,' and sets about beating the men servants and the maids, and eating and drinking and getting drunk, his master will come on a day he does not expect, and at an hour he does not know. The master will cut him off and send him to the same fate as the unfaithful. The servant who knows what his master wants, but has not even started to carry out those wishes, will receive very many strokes of the lash. The one who did not know, but deserves to be beaten for what he has done, will receive fewer strokes. When a man has had a great deal given him, a great deal will be demanded of him. When a man has had a great deal given to him on trust, even more will be expected of him." The Gospel of the Lord. I think when you go on holiday, or come here on holiday, as some of you do while you're here, of course, now, we look forward to a change and some rest and some relaxation, perhaps nothing too taxing, not too much to worry or to think about. So you come to Mass today and you get all these long readings, you think, what's it all about? First sight, even second sight, you think, what's he on about? What is all this to do with? Well, the first reading is a reminder of the Passover night, that crossing of the Red Sea, and God at work with his people, a captive people, during their darkest moments, their enslavement in Egypt, and being prepared and ready to move with the Lord. And the gospel is about remembering that we are servants. So as I say, while you're on holiday, you think, oh, it's a bit difficult, some of all this. But then after some reflection, it becomes clear that they're answering the question, "Lord, how do you want your people to be while they're here on earth?" And the answer is, like trusting uncluttered pilgrims, servants ready for God. Because even when we go away, we don't, as it were, leave the Lord behind. The Lord is always with us. The Lord is always at work. There's always something going on. That's why that first reading reminds us of the Easter Vigil and the sort of attitudes that we are to have as Christians on Easter night when we've gone through Good Friday and Holy Thursday and all that. He wants us to have courage, to be trustful in our expectation of victory at the end of time, and a sense of vindication, and also togetherness as a community in continual praise of God. So we leave the communities where you've come from and we join in a different community, but nevertheless, all of us there to praise God. And in a sense, that's picked up in the psalm, happy are the people the Lord has chosen as his own. Maybe you can reflect, how happy are you? How happy are you because we believe, because we're people of faith? Because, in a way, what the Lord's going on to say is the journey of faith in following Christ isn't always as clear as we think it might be, not as clear as a light. And so Jesus is encouraging his followers, his disciples, and saying to them, don't be afraid. Remember, the Father has promised you the kingdom. All's going to be well. Don't be worried. And he said, if you're fixed on too many material things and all that sort of thing, then shed it. Fix your heart on him. Be thou my vision, Lord of my heart. Where our heart is, there will your treasure be. So that's the journey of the people of faith, and that's picked up in the second reading, particularly, of course, the great parents, spiritual parents of all people in faith, Abraham and Sarah, who trusted solely in God's promises, left their homeland in modern-day Iraq, journeyed all through what we knew as the Fertile Crescent, through to the Holy Land, trusting just in God and venturing in the dark into the unknown. And they'd been promised land, and they'd been promised descendants, and yet for years they had to go on, not enduring any settled way of life, and certainly no child at that time. Again, all signs to the contrary, they continued to put their faith and hope in God's promises. People of faith. That's what the reading's about today. People of faith. The people of Israel in Egypt put their faith in God, and he led them through that Easter Passover night to the promised land. Abraham and Sarah put their faith in God, and faith enabled them to keep going through the darkness towards a promise of a future. And in a sense, the parable, Jesus says, we're to be like servants, but with our lamps lit, dressed, getting on with our work. And that can, when he said the lamps lit, because we can be sometimes in the darkness, we can be in doubt, we can be in despair, we wonder what's going on. And the journey of faith receives sufficient light to keep us going. So that the people of Israel were led by the pillar of fire by night and by the cloud during the day. And both of them representing the God who is with them. The presence of the Lord marched before them in the pillar of cloud and protected them, stood behind them to protect them in the pillar of fire by night. Stay with that image, because if you looked into the sun, and when none of us know we should look long into the sun at all, that's why you need your shades on. If you look into the sun, your vision actually is clouded. And in a sense, in that daylight, that can be what happens. That cloud, that pillar of cloud that was the Lord during the day, can be a bit like the unseen God. And in the daytime, we can see things all around us. And we know. But if it was dark, you'd see different things. So that in the night time, and you go out while you're on holiday maybe in somewhere and there's no street lights, if you come from a big city and the lights on all the time, go out into the country, black dark at night. But you can see. You can see things that are there, but you can't see during the day. You can only see them at night. The stars, obviously the moon, but you can see much further at night. And there's a sense in which so much darkness and so much light is a natural rhythm. And it can be a natural rhythm for people of faith. We go through those dark moments. We go through those difficult times. And the spiritual writers call it the dark night of the soul, as it were. But just in the same way that darkness and light are right for the rest of the world, so in our spiritual lives, it can be the same. That's why the Lord says you need your lamps lit. Because in the darkness, we still need that flickering light guiding us on our way. And as I say, it's Thomas Merton that reminds us that in the daylight we can see all the objects around us, but in the darkness of night we can see the farthest and the distant stars, and darkness sometimes stretching our vision. So maybe we're going through a darkness in our lives and a difficult time, and things are hard to know where we're going. And that can be when God can use those moments to stretch our vision and take us further. In the daylight of faith, we think we advance in knowing what God is like. But in the night light of faith, we advance in our unknowing. That is, learning about the limitations of the knowledge that we have of God. And that great master of the darkness of the soul, St. John of the Cross, gives this advice. Don't be satisfied with what you understand about God. Nourish yourself instead on what you do not understand about him. Don't base your happiness or delight on what you may see and hear and feel of him, but rather on what you can't feel, what you can't hear, what you can't see. That's a bit like the cloud, lost in the cloud, in the fog. But Abraham and Sarah set out in the dark, unknown, but in the strength of God's promises. And Jesus told them, don't be afraid, for it's pleased the Father to give you the kingdom. And in the darkness, he tells you to have your lamps lit, dressed, ready for action. And we do that in our prayer, trying to pray. And when we're dressed for action, that's our practical love towards those around us. And all of that will then encapsulate the vision, because where our treasure is, there our heart will be. Be thou our vision, O Lord.